Title of our lesson this evening is Against the Grain. I had a picture I wanted to utilize, but I couldn't find it. It's taken a little while back and would have explained if picture's worth a thousand words. And I normally don't use pictures in sermons, but I wanted to use a picture for this lesson. But I couldn't find it. And the picture was one of me when the Sugar Land concert, everything fell down and Hannah and I ran out from underneath the canopy, and it was a picture of me running back. It was a news picture. Somebody had taken it. All these people running. I mean, they were running away, and I had heard it fall and told Hannah I had to go back and help. And I was the only one who's like, you could see people about this size of this room running away, and I'm the only one running back to help. Against the grain. I was running against the grain. I was compelled to help people because I knew something, just from the sounds of people. And in our lives, you know, it made me think of the things that go against the grain. There's two different grains in the kingdom of heaven, kind of, so to speak. There's those that are with the grain of God and those that are against the grain. How many of you have ever sanded wood in your life before? Sanded your wood, right? Just for example, if you take a look at this, what would happen if I took some 80 grit and decided to sand against the grain on this right here? It would rough it up tremendously. It actually would smooth it out, would it? Sanding against the grain actually removes part of the surface and roughs things up. It's the improper way to sand if you're going to sand wood. Did you guys do some sanding yesterday? Just chipping and painting. Just scraping. Well, another opportunity, how many of you ever had hardwood floors resurfaced? Anybody? Another sanding against the grain. Well, you know, the drum sanders that they use go with the grain. The grain on this tabletop's running this way. But that belt sander will only get so far. That drum sander will only get so far. And then you have to use a different type of sander. They have to use an orbital sander that come up against the edges when they go around the edge of a room when they do a whole floor like that. And if you look real close, they just quite can't get it sanded like the drum sander and smooth. You can notice it. Most people don't recognize it. I do because I've had big areas resurfaced and new floors put in through my career and seen how that works. But unless they use extremely, extremely fine sandpaper, when they're sanding circularly with and against the grain on the edges, it's hard to see. But for the most part, the big area that we sand, we go with the grain. Our main passage comes from Acts chapter 5, verse 29 through 39. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered and by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God, against the grain, against God. Folks, we have lots of people in our world today that come up and say, you know what, I got the latest and greatest, I got the new thing, I got something special for you. We got a lot of salesmen that want to sell you things that make you feel better, make you look better, make you make more money. All things that we want. You know what, I'm a little interested in that, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I would like to look a little better. I would like to feel a little better. I'd like to have a little more money in my pocket. But can you imagine maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago, those of us that are a little older, about what somebody told us about what to eat? Right? You better not eat this. You should eat this. How many of us have eaten margarine instead of butter? Switched to margarine instead of butter for a long time. Our household did. Butter was a sin, almost. Thankfully, we're back to eat the real stuff. The stuff God comes from what God made. But that's just a simple thing where man says, hey, follow me. Follow me. We follow. There's a lot of things that transpire today. Follow us. Follow us. And we do that. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, folks, we need to be extremely careful when somebody says, I got something new. I'll give you an example, and I'm not trying to diminish from the cycles we go through in learning from other people. But when those of you that used to work, so to speak, but let me just say this, and those of us that still work, about every 4 to 5 years, they come out with a new plan of attack. They got a new guy come in and do a new seminar. You know, this is the latest and greatest. You know, we're going to spend a day thinking about this and focusing, and this is our new motto, or this is our new business plan, or this is our new creed, our new culture. And folks, a lot of times it works, and there's a lot of good ideas, and it brings some freshness in the workplace or wherever you're at. Maybe I asked that, Brad, when you were teaching school, textbooks changed throughout the years. And sometimes, probably, I'm assuming maybe some of the textbooks were better, but some of them left out some very important stuff. When it comes to the kingdom of God and spiritual things, Jesus says, all things that pertain to life and godliness are contained herein. When somebody new comes along, and that's why when I say I don't want to take away from, I want to say Bob, I can't remember his last name, Dankelfelson, you mentioned about the We Care seminar this morning, the Bible class. Fishers of Men, you know, the one that we just went through. All of those are excellent to help us focus and energize us and understand somebody else's perspective. But they don't replace the gospel. They don't replace just doing what Jesus asked us to do. They help us and encourage us, but they don't give us faith. Faith comes by understanding God's holy word and being in God's word. That's the neat thing about sharing your faith with somebody else and asking for Bible studies. All of those situations and programs that we go through are to encourage us to share our faith. And they always include opening God's word. Always include opening God's word, folks. It's very tough to share your faith without opening God's word. You ever tried to share your faith with somebody at work without a Bible and it turns into an argument? Or a family reunion? Or a neighbor? Or a person at a coffee shop? It's almost, folks, sometimes throwing our pearls before swine. We just need to be careful. And if somebody doesn't want to sit down and study God's word, that is a good precursor for us to shake off the dust from our feet from that situation when it comes to talking to somebody about the kingdom of heaven potentially. Of all the people that are in the world, lest you be found to fight against God. Certainly we don't want to be that way because we're here. And being against the grain. But if I drive down the road and I expect everybody to follow the laws of the land, is that a reasonable expectation? Sure it is, don't you think? Whether it's, I'm trying to think about who's the youngest driver in here. You got permits. Does she have a permit yet? No, she's still too young. See, I don't know. I'm not up on that. But probably Lucas. Oh, Allie's the youngest one. Youngest driver, we would expect her to follow the same rules and regulations as the oldest person that's in here. And I'm not going to try and figure that one out. Bob already did. Thank you, brother. But we would expect that. Because we're all on the same page. You know, when we go out in the world as Christians, we think and we expect everybody else to be on the same page. But folks, that's not the reality. We are individuals and we are a few. We are a few. Now we're mighty. Our faith is strong. Our courage is great. But it's not for us to assume, and I do this at work, and that's why I'm bringing this up. Why would you say that? Why would you not remember what you said? Why would you not be consistent with how you follow policies or procedures? Everything is relative. I can change that if I want. I really don't like that. And I'm kind of a black and white type of guy. You know? I want to go with the grain. I want to go with what has been set before me to follow the rules, the policies, and the procedures. Now, there's times in my life I have been an outlaw, but Jesus has melted my heart and taught me that it's far better to follow and understand than it is to rebel and be prideful. But I say that we expect, going back to driving and rules and laws of the land and driving, everybody, we expect everybody to use their blinker, everybody to use their bright lights when they're by themselves, okay? To be in the right lane when they want to turn, to be in a slow lane instead of the overtaking lane or the passing lane when they're going down, there's multiple lanes, just simple stuff. And you know what, folks? We expect simple stuff out of people in faith, but you know what? That's not going to happen because maybe Jesus isn't working in their heart. Jesus would love to work at every single person's heart walking on the face of this earth. But the reality is, he's not. They won't let him in. And even us in our lives at times struggle with letting Jesus be the Lord and master 100% of what we do in our lives. There's times when we want to be against the grain when it comes to Jesus. We talked about that a little bit in our lesson this morning. But as we continue on with our passages, to talk about things that are against. They could be against God or what God is against. We have a few passages this evening to close out our lesson. The very dust, in Luke 10:11, it is written, "The very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you." I mentioned just previously, we expect everybody to have Jesus in their life and working in their life. And folks, that's just not the reality. This comes right after, this passage is right after Jesus sends out the 70. You know, I never recognized it until I read this passage today. Jesus sent out the 70 to the cities that he was going to. Two by two. Told them not to take anything. This is the time Don't take anything. Just one pair of everything. Away you go. None of us could do that today, folks. How many of you just, let's go get my plane ticket and leave? My wife would think that it's emergency or something's crazy or I fell into a bunch of money and we're just going shopping, I guess. We left with just one change of clothes to go somewhere. But Jesus told them this. And he explains to them, people will help you, people will be kind to you, and if they're not, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, we know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. Folks, one of the toughest things in our lives to do, Jesus knew, because he knew people's hearts, and he knew whether they're going to follow him or not. Even though Jesus wants everybody to follow him, he knows their hearts whether they're going to or not. We don't know that. But we still have that desire for everybody to follow Jesus. There's going to be times, folks, when it's caustic for us to spend time with people that have given up on Jesus. And that's a tough thing to recognize. It's caustic to our lives, our minds, our hearts. Sometimes we even start believing like they do. Because we love them so much. Because we want to be a part of their lives. But we can't allow them, when they're going against the grain, against God, to change our faith from following him. And this is the passage that's mentioned when they go out to teach people about Jesus. And in Acts 32:9, then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Speaking of Paul and bringing to light those people. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. How many of us would like to know how the wrath of God works? I would. I'd like to know when he's going to do what he's doing and how he's going to do it. But you know what? That's not for me to know. He promises he's doing it, and he has done it, and he will do it. And it's against ungodliness and unrighteousness. And those people who suppress the truth, those are the people that are against the kingdom of heaven. But once again, folks, we talk about being comfortable and recognizing where we're at in life. That God's business is God's business. He said he's going to take care of those people. Sometimes we'd like for him to take care of sin and evil and wickedness right now. But God knows what's best. We have to walk by faith and trust him that he'll take care of those things in this world that are against him. Romans 2 and verse 2 says, but we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. And because I didn't include that, as far as the complete passage, Romans 2:2. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. I think some of the times in my life that God has, through the Holy Spirit, tried to teach me something, is when I get frustrated, angry, mad about something, or someone, and then it hits me. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did that. And then I think of a time, you know, 2 days ago, I did the same exact thing. To me, it's positive and humbling in my heart. But it also helps me to recognize, according to this passage, it's happened a long, long time ago. The Apostle Paul writes to Romans and says, look, be careful. Be careful. Don't be so judgmental. Don't get me wrong. There's right and wrong and righteous and unrighteous. We need to follow all the things that are written for us. I'm not talking about compromising the Word of God. But just like God's wrath, I would certainly like to have a way to disable the vehicles that I think aren't driving according to the law going down the road. Beep! Wouldn't that be neat? TV show. That'd be a neat TV show. You know, cyber cop. How come you pulled me over? You didn't use your blinker. You're going too slow in the fast lane. You're driving erratically. I saw you texting. I saw you reading Facebook going down the road. Beep, your car is disabled. I got to just pray for those types of folks in my life. God will take care of them. And I pray that God helps them recognize what a dangerous situation is. And that's just physical, folks. That doesn't start talking about the spiritual dangers that people have in their lives. The personal struggles people have in their lives that we don't even know about. But praying for them and recognize they're happening. Encouraging one another. Irregardless of what we're all struggling with in our lives, we're here this evening to look at each other and say, we're following Jesus. We're on a path. We're singing songs that encourage us and remind us of who we are and who God is. And thank you, Connor and Lucas, for that today. Appreciate that. Appreciate your kind words about them this morning, brother. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. Obviously, this whole passage in Romans 8 is about spiritual mind and a carnal mind. And we have to live in the flesh. God's holy word tells us that. We have to live here now. And I still don't believe that this life is a test and a trial, and it's full of trials and tribulations. How many of us would create our kids as a test and a trial? If I considered Hannah and Lucas to be a test, I was part of bringing them into this world. Maybe a small part according to some, but I'm still a part. God has his hand in everything, is what I was trying to get to. Why would I make my children's life a test and a trial? I had to get back. I had to remember where I was going. And comparing that to God, a lot of people think life is a test and life is a trial, and God's just seeing the way to see if we mess up, or he's trying to wait and see if we do good before he blesses us. Folks, that's a worldly, carnal concept of spirituality and of God. Of his love and his grace and his mercy and how much he cares for us. You wonder how somebody can love somebody and their kid is a mass murderer? You see women all the time standing up for their children that are terrorists in today's world. Because they love them unconditionally. God created us in this world because he loves us unconditionally. He didn't create us as little pawns for his little chess game. He created us because he wanted to give us life. To enjoy it. To enjoy the things that he has created around us. To enjoy learning how to sand wood the right way instead of against the grain. To learn the things that we've learned. Experience the things we've experienced. the carnal mind is enmity against God. And I'll bring up our passage in our talk a little bit this morning in our lesson. I'll continue to remind us of these things, folks, because I think our culture and our world struggles with them. There's things that are carnal on the TV and on the internet and on electronic devices that are enmity against God. And we need to walk by faith and be able to turn them off and disable them as we go through this life, as examples to our loved ones, as control of ourselves than it is anything else. Continue in Romans 8, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, obviously we know that Satan's against us. But if we rely more on Satan, scareness, and fear, this is convicting to me, folks. I struggle. I don't know why, but I struggle at work sometimes about fearful about stuff. And God's blessed me so much and took care of me all my life. I do not know why sometimes. I'm just not at peace and relaxed. But if God is for us, who can be against us? We sang songs this morning, and one of the songs Lucas led this evening reminded me of God's power, presence, and promises in my life that will help encourage me start this week anew. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You've got to know what God's word says in order to compare it against people that are exalting itself against that, folks. And you wonder why people follow crazy things and things that aren't truthful and things that defy God. It's because they don't know what God's holy word says. How do we bring everything into the captivity, the obedience of Christ? Understanding God's word and self-control. Self-control. Is the law then, in Galatians 3:21, is the law then against the promise of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. And I'll do this just to mention this verse. Is the law against the promises of God? So basically, people that say God is love, we don't have to follow the law. We don't need rules and regulations. We just need to live by love. And then you have folks in the Old Testament say, we just got to live by the law. We don't need to live by love. It was a hard issue that struggled with the Pharisees and Sadducees and the lawyers and people of the New Testament time struggled with. But we, as God's children and having His holy word, need to recognize they go together. We need rules and regulations. We need self-control. We also need love and kindness and forgiveness and mercy and grace. Because that all those things encompass who God is. Let us not hold God just to a simple idea or a simple He is love only. Or He is this only or that only. He is multiple things far beyond our imagination and understanding. Our last page this evening of passages, and there's only three. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't know how I would say that. One of Don's cliches, okay? This morning, this week, when you get up in the morning, try it at least once. God help me put on the whole armor today. I'm good. I'm just thinking. It's not something I've never tried. I just thought about it. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? When did you pray and first thing in the morning for that day to put on a whole armor of God that you may be stand against the wiles of the devil? Just a thought, folks. And if you want to text me, somebody that has my, and say, hey, have you put on a whole armor of God today? I would appreciate that to remind me. And maybe you can text somebody else. Or use you guys that are on Tweeterville. I'm just kidding. I don't know what it's called. Lucas rolling his eyes. Twitter, Fed it, whatever you call it. Tweet that. Tweet it out to the world. Remind your friends and people you care about. Hebrews 12:3 says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." I myself have become weary and discouraged in my soul at times in life. But I'm so thankful for Jesus and his example, because he kept keeping on. He kept on going against the grain of the world and following the Father in heaven. And we have such a great example in him. A simple passage: if you become weary or discouraged this week in your souls, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus to help uplift you. And our last passage this evening, and close the lesson, is yours. 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Folks, it's up to us. The devil doesn't make us do it. We choose. We choose in our lives to be faithful or not. We choose in our lives to strengthen ourselves. We choose in our lives whether we're putting on the whole armor of God for this day in our lives. We consider and we choose in our lives to consider Jesus to help us in the things we struggle with, no matter how great or how small. Some of the small things in our lives we may think is too small for Jesus, but he's never said that. He said, "Come to me, all you that are weak and heavy laden." No matter how big or small, I'm adding to. He never quantified our struggles and what we're going through to bring to him. He's there for all the things that we're struggling with. And we offer that invitation this evening. If you haven't become a child of God and begin that walk with him and been saved from your sins by being baptized into Christ, we offer that invitation this evening. Or if you need prayer as a congregation, or if there's any resolve in your heart to make things right with God as we stand and sing the selected hymn this evening, we ask you to do that as we stand and sing.